Do we have questions or further dialogue for any of our panelists? Please.
Just a very quick question, if I could. William, in your process on looking at, let's call it collaboration and with the community, your stakeholders, you started off by defining scenarios, and then you came down and started talking to stakeholders. I would have thought there would have been discussions with stakeholders before the scenario development. In other words,
That was just an artifact of that taking that particular slice out of the process. That's all, because the piece that was outlined there was really that part of the process which started to look at a very specific problem, and that was the modification of the food supply. But that's part of a much bigger piece of the working group, which itself is a larger collaboration. So, no, I didn't want to give the impression that you did a lot of things first and then say, what do you think? That's not the way it went. It was really coming back after the process and, in a sense, bringing the data to the table again and saying, here's what we're finding so far. What do you think? But actually, the bigger process itself had to raise the question about whether that was a reasonable thing to do, for example, and then to put forward some suggestions as to where to look based on the various technical sorts of inputs and inputs in general. The collaboration itself is quite broad, and the working group that works on that is also quite broad, and it was really, I think, a collaboration that oversaw that whole process, and that was just the one piece there that I pulled out.
Another question, right?
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Cecchini. I just want to understand exactly what it means if you want to tackle the obesity. How come increasing tax would do it? Because right away people are poorer, and it's not from now, but it's still something I'm trying to understand. How increasing taxes would decrease obesity among poor people.
Well, how we modeled that kind of intervention was basically with elasticities. If you have to spend more money on food rich in fat, you will buy less of that food, and instead, as the price of vegetable. I cannot hear you. I'm sorry.
Could you come to the microphone?
Could you ask your question to the microphone, please?
People are poor right away, and they are buying fat food because it's the cheapest. So if you increase the price, well, it will not improve them. It will not encourage them to buy healthier food. That this is what I don't understand.
If you want to put it in that way, we also decrease the price of healthy food. It's not just increasing the price of unhealthy food.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. My question is to Philippe and Isabel, or maybe even also to William, is that if we are to move toward a knowledge basis for surveillance of health that is also more of health and of behavior as well. To what extent can we reconcile those surveillance systems that are the traditional one in health and public health and those extremely costly genomics data databases that are now mushrooming around the world? Is there a way, and providing very rich information on various biological variability as well as biological consequences, where do you see the two converge in some way to improve what we have as a society to understand and guide health? Philippe?
I'll just go first very quickly. I think cost is a major factor associated with this, particularly from looking at it from a geneticist perspective. The cost of sequencing genomes is coming down dramatically. and we're getting a greater and greater snapshot of genomes globally. And once that becomes a different kind of biobank, if you like, it's more of a informatic biobank. Maybe we can remove some of the costs of storing material. Once you've sequenced the genome, it's sequenced. The genome doesn't change. So part of that comes into the picture, and as well how we're going to analyze, say, genomic data with, say, so much of this clinical data that we're collecting really comes down to thinking about novel ways of systems biology, ways of integrating the data as well.
Perhaps just add as well, if we take the example of the Canadian Partnership for Tomorrow, we will have 300,000 participants across Canada. So, and those participants will be followed through time. So one of the possibilities is for a group like yours to try to add for the follow-up some specific measures that could be of interest for your group in those kinds of large population-based studies, because it's the representative, it's not necessarily representative, but it aimed to be a representative sample of the population. So I think that is one of the ways that we could see a link. The other way is that all those participants have a residency, and often we have the history of residency of the participant. So even for the measure that are more ecological measures, you can put information about the specific participant as well on the top of your more ecological measure, and that can provide some research program of interest eventually.
Any more questions, comments? If anyone would like to check their email or get online over lunch, there is a guest account available here at the conference center. If you need that information, I have it here. You come and see me, and I'll give it to you right away. But if you give us 10 minutes, we're going to put it up on the screen. So if you need to do it right away, just come and get it. Otherwise, you can get something to eat, and the login information will be available in the room here momentarily. We will have 45 minutes for lunch, and we will see you a few minutes before 1. Thank you. Thank you, all our panelists.